Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
They're just reckless with their life, and ultimately they're made to be captured. Now, the Lord allows this generation of people to come along because it shows that He is able to make a free agent. Do you know every single person? He said it, and we read that verse over in Timothy a minute ago, that He is the Savior of all men, but especially for those that believe, that He died for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The idea for you and me is to realize these people, they're responsible. They're responsible for this choice. This is why they will be judged for eternity. If they had no choice, then the people who are being damned one day would be able to say, I had no choice. If there was no choice, in this case of Job, the devil would have said, he had no choice. You and I have a choice. And that choice doesn't only affect you, but it affects everybody you know and everybody around you. Because when you choose poorly, other people will follow your lead many times. The Bible says these are natural, brute beasts made to be captured and destroyed. The word destroyed means to decay, to ruin, to corrupt. It's the idea of getting worse and worse. But I want you to understand, first of all, that when it talks about this, it's talking about things that you and I are familiar with, but very rarely do we drill into. The Bible says in Isaiah 66:24. Now, if you know anything about Isaiah, you know there are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. This is the very last verse of the prophet Isaiah. He's preaching about that kingdom that's coming. He, in this passage, tells us that all the nations are going to come to Israel. Israel will have been restored. And when the nations come in, they will go by and they will see those people who have been judged in the past. Listen to how it says, they shall go forth, and meaning they're going to leave Jerusalem after their worship. They shall go forth and they will look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die. Neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. So during the millennial kingdom, there's going to be burnt cities. The Bible says all the cities of the world fall. Cleveland, Chicago, New York City, Mexico City, you know, Shanghai, whatever city is out there, they're all going to fall. They're going to be burning ruins. The Bible says they're going to be a hold for every kind of bird and dark thing and demons and all that. But there's also going to be some bodies that are going to be heaped into that cinder mesh. And what God is going to see to during the millennial kingdom is that their bodies will not turn into dust. He's going to keep them moist. He's going to keep them wet and gross. It's going to be an abhorring unto all flesh. But it's going to be a reminder, just like the Bible says that when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, it was destroyed in such a conspicuous way that nobody can doubt what will happen to people who decide to go that way in their lives. And so when they leave, it says that their worm's not going to die. So they've got fires in there, and there's going to be worms in there, and they're going to see this. Now, is this hell? No, this is on earth. This is physical carcasses. But this is a picture to everybody who lives in the millennial kingdom of what hell really is. When you read about hell, you find out in Revelation 14, the Bible says that people who take the mark of the beast and are totally galvanized in their lostness, they need to know out of the gate that they're going to have to drink of the wine of the wrath of God. And what does that look like? Well, the Bible says it is this. And by the way, he said they're reserved under judgment, right? We're talking about that judgment. I'm not just going off on a hobby horse. I'm telling you what he's talking about. It says they will drink of the cup of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. He's going to give it unadulterated. And it says, and this person shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. So there you have people walking by on earth seeing something that's a depiction of what the angels are already seeing. They're walking by and they're like, whoa. You see those bodies over there? They're continuing to burn. They're festering, but they're not decaying. They're not being burnt up. God lets their worm not die. You're going to see the maggots, all the terrible things. Yes. Listen, this is serious, right? And he says they're going to see that. And then the Bible says that these people, they're going to be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Jesus is not squeamish. He is a holy God. He walked on this earth and He died for our sins to walk away from His offer of salvation is to do a disservice and to destroy one's own soul. The Bible says he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And listen to this, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And if that's not clear enough, he says they will have no rest day or night. You know what the Bible says, Jesus speaking? He says in Luke 13:28, it says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are thrust out. He was talking to his generation. And he says, when you see that happening, you know what that means? They're going to see some stuff happening. Well, what we're seeing here is somehow these people are going to have an ability to know that Jesus is coming for his people. And when there's a, listen, when there's a first resurrection, what is that? That's right after the tribulation. He raises everybody who was beheaded for the name of Christ during the tribulation. He also raises everybody who was pre-Jesus, because only the dead in Christ rise at the rapture. Only the dead in Christ were the wife. He's coming for the bride. So you got all these spirits of just men before. So you got all these people. Old Testament saints are going to be resurrected at the first resurrection. The tribulation saints are going to be resurrected, and they're all going to be set up to judge. Bible says they're going to judge the nation. He's rendered double under that Babylonian system. And then he says this. He says there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth when he separates the sheep from the goats. He says, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out, you're going to be not only terrorized, you're also going to be bitter. Gnashing of teeth. You know, that kind of thing. This is it's pain. Now you say, that's hideous. Yes, it is. But we don't think about it. That's why we don't look at our loved ones and think, is that what they're going to have to go through? Is that what they're going to face? And the answer is yes. If they don't know Jesus, they're going to face that. And the only time to fix that is now. And you can't fix it by force. You don't get a sword. You don't compel people to believe. The Bible says, don't you know that it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? And you and I have to be good. Because when we try to be good, then we can be winsome enough for them to say, I can hear you now. And that means long-suffering. Jesus was long-suffering. We need to be long-suffering with our world. And it's hard. It's so hard. Because you and I are in a body that just wants to just deal with us and our stuff. We're like anybody else. We just have that old man in us. But we have to kind of deal with that. We have to go beyond that. We have to see the other guy. If you get your arm broke in a car accident and you get something to hold it up and now you're good, you go help somebody else get their arm fixed, right? You try to figure out in this terrible car accident, something I can do. In our day, we've watched the terrible things happening in our world, and people are all around with cell phones taking pictures and video rather than intervening, right? And that's what we've become. Spectators. Not participants. There's a war out there. You and I are the foot soldiers for Jesus. And we can help those folks if we would try. The Bible says that they shall be destroyed. They're made to be taken and destroyed in verse 12. That speak evil of the things they understand not. Again, that's the word blasphemy. These are teachers that are teaching bad things. And they're made to be taken and destroyed. Isn't that crazy to think about the teachers that are talking about Jesus and God all the time? I mean, I don't know if you've ever really allowed yourself to consider the outcome of a Joel Osteen. Is that really what Jesus would have looked like if he was here today? Would he be going into Joel Osteen's and saying, you got your best life now? Everything you ever needed is right here on earth. Just go for it. I mean, come on, folks. This is reality. That's your teachers now, what you're hearing. Some people love these guys. They buy their books. It's what makes them millionaires, many of them. The Bible says that they speak evil of the things they understand not and shall utterly perish. There's the same idea. This is utterly, so it's got a kata at the beginning of it, meaning they're going to really, really perish, meaning pine and corrupt and become more and more ruined and decaying. But they will never, ever end. They'll have no rest day or night. And the Bible says they're going to do that in their own corruption. And again, three words in that one verse, destroyed, perish, and corruption, they're all the same word. They're going to corrupt and corrupt and corrupt for eternity. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. That is true also of the lost person. that you see this week who does not know Jesus, except they're not going to be singing, they're not going to be excited, it's going to be corruption upon corruption upon corruption. And as if it couldn't get more, there will be more corruption. And the Bible says they will receive, in verse 13, the reward of unrighteousness. So they lived unrighteous lives. They were people who were unjust, verse 9, same word, unrighteous, before us here. And it says they will receive the reward of unrighteousness, who count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. The word riot has the idea of to enfeeble themselves. In other words, they've actually doubled down. They're fake teachers, and they get a heads up. Think of Benny Hinn, who's got Costi Hinn, who tells Benny Hinn, you are on the wrong path, you're a false teacher, you're asking for money. And Benny Hinn gets a moment of clarity, and you know, one day, he said, we're not going to take an offering anymore. He actually said that. I've seen the video. Does he now? I think he does. But for a moment of clarity, my point is that they double down. And they will continue to double down because God is so merciful, He continues to say, the bridge is out. You need to turn back. Sometimes I think some of these people live to be super old. I don't know if you knew this, but Donald Trump in Pennsylvania a couple weeks back, he invited Kenneth Copeland up on the stage to pray for him and his efforts. Crazy, right? And he gave him a glowing endorsement, by the way, Kenneth Copeland did. And he's like 80 years old. Donald said, man, he looks good for 80. I never thought he looked good at all, even when he was younger. But, you know, he's just not seeming to age at all. It's very interesting. The Bible says they count it pleasure to riot. And the idea of rioting has the idea of to break up, to enfeeble. And they count it pleasure, and the idea is hedonism. It's the word hedone for hedonism. They count it hedonistic, fulfillment, to riot in the daytime. Meaning they're in the light, they're on the stage, they're on the platform, they're celebrating and they're talking about Jesus. And the Bible says, spots are they and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. This is the day we're living in. We are filled with this. And all I can say is it breaks my heart. And it wears my spirit out. Because I don't like to preach a message like this. I'd really much rather talk like Jude did. Of the common salvation. Which was once delivered to the saints. But this is truth. And I've told you truth today. There are false teachers among us. And they're all over the place. And because of TV, they can go all over the world. And people send them their money. And even when they're shown to be false, they continue to send them their money. Because people will double down. And we become enfeebled in our society. Because we have become willing to look down upon God's Word rather than be assessed by it. We have become the assessors of it. And we take what we want. And we don't take what we should. And I want to go back to this core point, and I'll close. Jesus said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. You've got Mama's list on the table. You know and I know what we should do. Are we doing it? Do we really have a love for Jesus that says, you know what, I know what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to call my loved one. This week I'm going to be at a table with some people on Thanksgiving Day, as it were. How are you going to behave? Does it matter? Yeah, it matters. It impacts all eternity. So we have to be those people that God can use, even though it's going to take every fiber of our being to bring ourselves in. You know, it was Paul who says, I keep my body under, lest I myself be put on the shelf as unuseful. We need to not be that way. Let's pray together, shall we?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.